For the past month, Father Jim and I have been preaching on the series called Wholehearted. And the foundation of that series, as we all remember, is the great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, as Jesus tells us, is like it. To love our neighbor as ourself. We saw that one of the foundations of being wholehearted in our love for our Lord is to be humble. And part of that humility is vulnerability. To be vulnerable with God and others. We also saw in the parable of the 10 virgins that we must be always ready to see God in every person, but we must also be ready to model our desire for a relationship with Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. We just like the virgins cannot share their oil, so we cannot merely force our desire for a relationship with Jesus on others, but we can model it for them so that they will see what we have and want it themselves. But we also remember that the context of this preaching series is the end of the liturgical year. We're approaching the Feast of Christ the King, which comes next week. And all of our readings remind us that heaven is our true home, and that to be wholehearted is to walk that path along the road to heaven. Which brings us to this week. There once was a newly divorced woman named Christina, who, because of being desperately broke, living on food stamps, and sharing a two-bedroom apartment with her two toddlers, ages 2 and 3, became very depressed. She, in her own words, said that she felt like a loser. And in order to get out of this feeling of depression, she said, I'm going to try and serve others, so I'm going to go volunteer. So she went out to all the soup kitchens and homeless shelters around her area and asked if she could volunteer. And she was rejected. Now she said, I understand, I have two toddlers and I can't afford babysitting. And a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old running around a soup kitchen would not be a great idea. However, for someone who is depressed, to be rejected from being a volunteer is like reaching rock bottom. So she said one night she was just thinking and crying, just, what am I supposed to do? And then she kind of backed up and said, what is a skill that I still have? Something I can do that is unique to me. She thought of one thing. She said, I can make a big meal for very little money. So she went out to all her friends and said, if you know anyone who needs a free meal, maybe a homeless person, someone who's very poor, perhaps an elderly person who has no one to, doesn't have a lot of money, perhaps they want someone to eat dinner with, send them to my house on Wednesday nights and I'll feed them. So that first Wednesday night came around and she went to the dollar store. She said, I love going to the dollar store because in a dollar store you feel rich because you can go in and buy more than 2 items. So she gathers a bunch of food, starts preparing the meal at her home, and then waits. And as 6 o'clock rolls around, the feelings of doubt and fear start to creep up into her mind. She thought to herself, Christina, why should anyone show up tonight? Why would your friends bring anyone to you? They'd probably be embarrassed. You're depressed, Christina. Your life is a mess. No one is going to expect you to be able to offer someone something. These were her fearful thoughts as she waited expectantly for the possibility of guests to arrive. Doesn't this fear sound familiar? Fear is what kept the man with the one talent from investing it. He goes and buries it in the ground. And when Jesus told this parable, his disciples and all who heard would have recognized that a talent is represented, it meant a huge sum of money. To give you some idea, a current estimate would be $1.5 or $1.25 million. So the man who gives his servants this amount of money is investing them with a huge sum, enormous. He's taking a great risk in giving it to them. And what is interesting, I find today, is the disciples heard the word talent and heard a large sum of money. But by an interesting linguistic coincidence, talent means for us more than just money. It is our skills, abilities, all the gifts we have. And this leads us to our first insight into our parable. The church has always interpreted the talent entrusted to the disciples and entrusted to us as meaning every gift that we are given. Every gift we have been given has been given to us by God. So the gifts of family and friendship, jobs and career, wealth, education, school, church community, and faith, all virtues that we have, kindness, patience, perseverance, industry, whatever they might be, these are all a part of our unique talent, gifts given to us by God. All right, so if we have each received all of these gifts, then we must invest them on behalf of the one who gave it to us. And this leads us to our second insight into our readings. Every talent, every gift we possess must be invested on behalf of the Christ the King, the one who gave us the gift in the first place. We don't just have talents, abilities, wealth, money, the great gifts of family and friends just for us, but rather they are to be shared, invested on behalf of our Lord and His kingdom, the upbuilding of His will. And this lastly takes us to our third insight. If we invest these things on behalf of God's will, and if we listen to the message of the parable, we realize that our eternal destiny depends directly upon how much we have used or contributed our gifts to God's kingdom. Eternal life is a gift, absolutely. But when we invest the gifts we have received on behalf of God's will, it is as if we are opening up our arms to receive the gift of eternal life. We are building up the kingdom, but also opening our hands to receive the gift of heaven. So, my friends, we must not be afraid to use our gifts like the man with the one talent. We must pour out what we have without fear and just say, Lord, I give this over to you. I give this over and I trust that you will do great things with it. And to give us inspiration, we should always remember the words of the master to the servants who invested his wealth well and create and gain for him the interest. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy. All right, now let's pick up with Christina again. She's waiting for these guests to arrive. The insidious fear and doubt creeps into her mind. And she waits. The people start coming. And it's not just a few people. It is many. Her two-room apartment is standing room only. And she feeds a ton of people. And when the final person left and she closed the door behind them, she said, I just sobbed. I just wept. And these were not tears of sorrow, but rather to hear her tell about it, I was crying like a broken little girl who just experienced her first glimmer of hope, of healing. Yes, life was still hard, and I was still sad, but I no longer felt defeated. The next day, Christina received many emails and calls from the strangers who had eaten at her house the night before, and they said how much that dinner had meant to them. And as she read those emails, she said that an insight hit her like a ton of bricks. Even when I feel like a complete loser, even when my life feels like a crazy, chaotic mess, if I focus on the little things that I can do, I can turn it into something bigger than I ever expected. That is how Christina approaches every aspect of her life now. And I suggest that is how God asks us to approach every gift that He has given us. God will make great things happen through His inspiration, through His help, through His encouragement. If we but offer it up to Him, He will lift it up and do greater things than we can possibly imagine. My friends, we have each been given gifts, talents. The whole sum of our life is a gift. And our Lord is calling us to use our life for His glory, for our salvation, and the salvation of the whole world. If perhaps someone here today in this room is fearful of not knowing how to use one's gifts, of perhaps not knowing in what way one is gifted, kind of like Christina was the beginning of the story, I would say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him, how can I use this? Give me guidance, O Lord. Let me appreciate the gifts You've given me and learn how, in but small ways, I can lift them up to You. Blessed John Henry Newman wrote an incredibly beautiful prayer that Father Jim has put in his pastor's corner this week. It's at the bottom of the page. I invite you to clip it out and use it as a prayer. It's a wonderful prayer to see and to discern one's gifts, to allow, see, Lord, where am I gifted? How can I use this? But as a church community, as St. John's Catholic Church, I would suggest that we also use this prayer as a means to ask one question. Jesus, in what way do You want me to become a missionary disciple? In baptism, we receive that call, and the Lord asks us to respond to it. My friends, in the weeks and months to come, and especially this week leading up to the Feast of Christ the King, consider making the prayer of Blessed John Henry Newman your own. God has created me to do Him some definite service. He has commissioned some work to me which He has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. Therefore, I will trust Him. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve Him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve Him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve Him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what He is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide my future from me. Still, He knows what He is about. Amen.